This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. A truck driver who killed 11 worshipers at a Pittsburgh synagogue in 2018 has been convicted on 63 criminal counts.
The guilty verdicts were never in doubt. The gunman's own lawyers conceded at the beginning of the trial that their client, armed with an AR-15 rifle and other weapons, attacked and killed worshipers at the Tree of Life synagogue.
The verdict here demonstrates a level of accountability that hopefully will make people feel just a little bit better.
Orrin Siegel, vice president of the Anti-Defamation League's Center on Extremism.
When there is accountability for hate and violence, that's always an important message.
Christopher Cruz, CBS News.
The Justice Department has found that Minneapolis police engaged in a pattern of police abuse against minorities. Attorney General Merrick Garland described the findings.
MPD officers stop, search, and then use force against people who are Black and Native American at disproportionate rates.
Minneapolis Police Chief Brian O'Hara said the department does not take these findings lightly.
We will change the narrative around policing in this city. Out of the darkness and trauma our residents and our police officers have experienced over the last 3 years, we will emerge as a beacon of light for the rest of the world.
The report follows a sweeping 2-year civil rights probe. Perryton, Texas is cleaning up after severe weather tore through the town. KTVT-TV's Jason Allen is there.
Perryton's downtown area and local firehouse took a direct hit, but crews were still able to use their ambulances and trucks to reach people in need.
We've had some roofs blown off and some trees.
The deadly storm system also hit parts of Oklahoma with suspected twisters and powerful wind and hail.
At least 3 people were killed in Perryton. Government whistleblower Daniel Ellsberg has died. He leaked critical information about the Vietnam War. Here's CBS's David Martin.
Daniel Ellsberg started out as a true believer in the war, but he turned against it with a vengeance when he leaked the Pentagon Papers, revealing the machinations, doubts, and deceptions of the Kennedy and Johnson administrations as they slid deeper into the Vietnam quagmire. The leak was a bombshell, which led to a Supreme Court decision upholding the right of news organizations to publish the papers over the objections of the Nixon administration. Ellsberg might have gone to jail had a judge not dismissed the charges after operatives from the Nixon White House burglarized his psychiatrist's office.
Ellsberg was 92. President Biden in Hartford, Connecticut, has been praising the bipartisan Safer Communities Act, which he signed into law last year, saying the work is far from over.
We are not finished. We are not finished. We are not finished.
This is CBS News.
Hiring's a lot easier with Indeed. Their powerful platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Walks, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Here's what you need to know in Southeast Wisconsin. A Milwaukee County board supervisor was assaulted Monday at Mayfair Mall, reportedly due to a parking dispute. The Wauwatosa Police Department is conducting an investigation and has identified a person of interest. Following the attack, Supervisor Pete Bergelis sought medical attention and will need surgery. The victims of Wednesday's plane crash in Waterford have been identified through an online memorial. 8-year-old Colin Strebe from Waukesha and his 73-year-old grandfather were killed in the crash, with a cause still not known. Runners and marchers take over downtown Racine tomorrow with the Lighthouse Run in the morning and the Juneteenth Parade in the afternoon. The run course has been altered to offset the lack of officers to assist.
Our staffing situation, while it is getting better, has not been completely resolved. I am still down 35 officers.
That's Racine Police Chief Maurice Robinson. For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Walks, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Walks today. 855-954-1186.
All into it, Gingras Thompson & Walks. GTWLawyers.com.
If you're searching for a unique and environmentally conscious shopping experience in Milwaukee, your search ends at Clover. A haven for plant and art lovers in the area, Clover's plants are handpicked from Wisconsin-based wholesalers. In fact, Clover was recently recognized as one of the top 10 best plant shops in the Midwest by Midwest Living Magazine. And the gallery features the talent of 23 local women artists. Clover, women owned and operated and making a positive impact in the community. 2252 South Kinnickinnick Avenue in Milwaukee or online at clovermke.com.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Welcome, everybody. I am Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. Well, it's been an interesting weekend of news. Not much happening out there. Let's just jump right in. The two questions I have for all you folks out there, and join us, text or call 844-967-2789. We got two questions. And is this finally the thing that cleaves the GOP in two? You can see it slowly starting to ripple, right? Of course, you've got Chris Christie out there condemning Trump. And we're going to listen to some of what Bill Barr had to say and talk about sort of what some of the other commenters have been saying and GOP leaders. But there's this whiff that I'm detecting in some of these comments that there may now be a more meaningfully sized contingent of the GOP that I think may finally find its spine to fully start stepping away from Trump. It's taken so long, hasn't it? I mean, we can spend all day arguing with the CJs of the world about why Biden's and Clinton's document issues, email issues are completely different from this.
Like real distinction, like really, really
yes,
different.
Meaningful distinctions. I'll put them down in just basically like two categories. All the rest of it ends up being mostly, I think, just noise and its intent, right? What was the intent? And once notified, it's not the taking of the documents or the information, right? Like that's what Clinton did with this private email server. And that's what Biden and Pence and others have done. It's not the taking in and of itself. It's the keeping with intention after you've been asked to give it back. That's what's different about Clinton. That's what's different about Biden. And then the second thing, which comes from the first, and that is not just the intentional keeping, but the lying to cover up that you've kept it. That's what's different. So I think you're really up against it. You can draw the false analogies, but ultimately, if what is alleged in this indictment is true, you have a president that indisputably, and what we're hearing about what's in this indictment is that there is video evidence of the boxes being moved and the contemporaneous text messages happening. Like it's a fact that some of these things occurred when they did. Plus, we've got audio where Trump is acknowledging that he knows that he's possessing confidential information and that he shouldn't be showing it. So they've literally, I don't want to use the word receipts anymore. They have audio tape and they have videotape and they have text messages, none of which
if properly presented in a U.S. court of law subject to our federal rules of evidence, which require the best evidence for each fact alleged, meaning the original source that has to be backed up by expert testimony, it simply won't be debatable that he did these things. Here's the basic timeline, okay? I want everybody to be with me on this because the timeline is what, when you start filling in all the detail, and that's what prosecutors will do. There will be a big visual aid. On February 9th is when Trump and his lawyers send the first 15 boxes to the National Archives. The archives suspect that information, documents that they are fairly certain Trump has weren't returned. And I want you to keep these numbers in mind. They sent 15 boxes to the National Archives and went, okay, job well done, super. By they, I mean Trump. The National Archives suspects that that's not all of the information, and they call up the FBI and tell them that. That occurs sometime after, I know the exact date. February 9th is when the official referral of the matter went from the National Archives to the FBI. It took almost 2 months for the FBI to officially open an investigation. So, and I want to pause there. That is 2 months where the FBI, using its typical, ordinary, and customary practices of vetting potential information regarding whether or not an investigation should be opened. It took them 2 months before the FBI officially opened an investigation on March 30th. It took another month before the grand jury was convened and formally began its investigation. So you're talking about all of February, all of March, and most of April, 3 months from the time the president sent the first 15 boxes to the National Archives, and the National Archives reported to the FBI that they believed critical, confidential, top secret information was missing from those 15 boxes. On May 11th, so another half month later, it's now 3.5 months, the grand jury issues a subpoena to Donald Trump. This is what then spurs his discussions with his attorney, Eric Corcoran. That's May 11th. Now the discussions are beginning. Okay, what do we do with this subpoena? On May 22nd, Nauta removes one box from storage in Mar-a-Lago and takes it to the Trump residence. That's the first box that's removed from the place that will ultimately be the only place that Trump identifies as having any of the relevant documents that Corcoran needs to search to know that Trump has complied with the subpoena, okay? So this is box one that has left the only place that Trump will tell his lawyer Corcoran the documents are located. That's on May 22nd. By the way, there are text messages going on. Every time Nauta moves a box, there are text messages occurring that trigger that. On May 23rd, the day after box number one is moved, I wonder what was in box number one. What was so important that it was the first box that had that Trump had moved from Mar-a-Lago to his residence? Because only one day later, Trump meets at Mar-a-Lago with Corcoran to talk about the subpoena. This is where all of those questions occur that Corcoran then later recalls in a voice memo while he's driving up to a family vacation and has a bunch of time on his hands, where Trump is saying, well, what if we just don't have any documents? Wouldn't it be better if we just didn't have any of these things that the subpoena is asking for? Well, what if we just blow them off and don't respond? That's when this happens. And now, between May 23rd and June 2nd, and there is video evidence corroborating this, Nauta removes 64 boxes from Mar-a-Lago and moves them to the Trump residence. 64. They turned over 15 And the 15 ended up having 197, I believe, documents with classified or top secret markings, or indicating that it was compartmentalized information. If you want to follow along in the manual, folks, it's paragraph 58 of the indictment, where the prosecutors describe specifically that Nauta removed 64 boxes between May 23rd and the day Trump's lawyer came to Mar-a-Lago to search the boxes. The very first box being removed by Nauta, that is paragraph 53. So 65 boxes removed by Trump's direction by his man Nauta. 15 boxes turned over to the National Archives. So what happens next? It is on June 2nd that Trump's lawyer, Corcoran, finally comes to Mar-a-Lago and personally reviews the documents and turns over 30 boxes to the FBI responsive to the subpoena. 65 removed, one with some extraordinary priority. 30 boxes given to the FBI. I want to know, have all of the other 35 boxes been accounted for? Because here's what the WSJ, the Wall Street Journal, had to say today. I want to know where those 35 boxes are. Because do the documents that were eventually recovered in the raid equate to 35 boxes? Or is there some volume of documents and boxes that we don't know what happened to them? That's what I want to know. Here's what the WSJ, the Wall Street Journal, had to say almost immediately after the indictment rolled. This was their insightful bit to help protect America's most sensitive security interests. Quote, however cavalier he was with classified files, Mr. Trump did not accept a bribe or betray secrets to Russia. Well, except for that one time when he was in the Oval Office and, you know, told those two ambassadors about that thing. The Wall Street Journal goes on, quote, the FBI recovered the missing documents when it raided Mar-a-Lago, so presumably there are no more secret attack plans for Mr. Trump to show off. Dear Wall Street Journal, I don't think I want to go on your presumably there are no more secret war plans for Mr. Trump to show off. I don't really want to run that possibility. And so to the Lindsey Grahams, the Trump apologists out there, what are you telling me, that you don't care if we don't know if we've found all of it? Because if half of what is in this indictment is true as to the nuclear capabilities of Iran, war plans of the United States, if there was an invasion of Europe, how we deal with terrorist threats, if that's totally fine for an unhinged lunatic with no respect for our Constitution to be showing off, then I say you stand up now and be counted with him, right next to him. Because if not, I suggest you call him out. And we will be doing just that when we get back. I am Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. Keep it locked in and join us. 844-967-2789.
Did you know the Country Music Hall of Fame group, the Oak Ridge Boys, is celebrating 50 years of great music? The boys are on tour and will be playing the Menominee Nation Arena in Oshkosh Friday, June 16th. Their four-part harmony upbeat songs are legendary, but do you know which of their many hit singles topped the country charts and became a top five on the pop charts? Is it Bobby Sue, Elvira, or their holiday song, Thank God for Kids? The answer coming up.
I'm the new guy. I joined in October of 73.
I was 25 years old, and here it is 50 years later. I'm still singing with the Oak Ridge Boys, and I'm 75 years old.
That's Joe Bonzell, the tenor of the group. I talked with him about the Oshkosh Show and their fans.
They can expect to hear a fast-paced show, lots of music, lots of singing. You can bring grandma, bring the kids, and they're not going to hear nothing they shouldn't hear.
And one thing you can expect to hear, the song Elvira. It is the Oak Ridge Boys' single hit to top both the country and pop charts. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows level off around 50 tonight, under mainly clear skies, north winds around 5 miles an hour. Lots of sunshine again tomorrow, high of 78. Mainly clear skies tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 55. More clouds than sun Sunday, with daytime highs approaching 80. 83 Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 66 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram on 540 AM WAUK.
Shine bright like a diamond. Shine bright like a diamond.
Fine light in the beautiful sea, I chose to be happy.
I am Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. Join the conversation. 844-967-2789. Is this finally the thing that cleaves the GOP in two, that allows some folks to finally find their backbone, the line which shan't be crossed? It has to be. If not this, what is it? You intentionally keep, for whatever purpose yet unknown, the sort of information that could kill Americans and lots of Americans. And this isn't about the Presidential Records Act. And just, you know, to all the skeptics out there, here's what. I suggest that you take the time to find out if the crap that you hear on the invented hypothetical reality, you know, through the looking glass menagerie news places tell you, listen to whatever those talking points are. And then I want you to go into the legal documents in this case. And I want you to find a single lawyer for Donald Trump that repeats those arguments in court. Because I'll tell you, one of the through lines here to me is, can Trump find a lawyer to keep saying the unsayable, to argue the inarguable? And many of them are now being held to account. Just this week, John Eastman's disbarment is being heard. It's starting. That proceeding is beginning in California. I'm going to talk about that later. Because it is incredible. The list of lawyers that have quit representing Trump is lengthy. Those that have lost their licenses or been censured, getting lengthier by the day. But probably one of Trump's most well-known lawyers, his lackey extraordinaire, number one, numero uno, the man who just glossed over the obstruction of justice that Robert Mueller pointed out. I mean, they were literally labeled Obstructive Act One, Obstructive Act Two. That guy, and Evan, we're going to do some clips here. That guy had quite a lot to say. He may, you know, He made the morning news junket, if you will. Evan, let's start with cut number one for Bill Barr. If you can find it. I always like to spring it on my producer. Hey, I'm going to call a clip out in 2 seconds. Here we go.
Records Act and the archives trying to retrieve documents that Trump had no right to have. But it quickly became clear that what the government was really worried about were these classified and very sensitive documents. I was shocked by the degree of sensitivity of these documents and how many there were, frankly.
Yeah, so it's not about the Presidential Records Act. That's a completely different thing. And yeah, that's how it starts when the National Archives first try to work with a president to recover various documents. But then when you start, not turning them over and telling your Diet Coke valet to, take the documents from the place your lawyer is coming to review the documents so that your lawyer doesn't find those documents. Yeah, that's now a crime. Let's give us more Bill Barr. Give me all the Bill Barr you got, Evan.
The government's agenda was to get those, protect those documents and get them out. And I think it was perfectly appropriate to do that. It was the right thing to do. And I think the counts under the Espionage Act that he willfully retained those documents are solid counts. Now,
we got one more.
Awesome.
I do think we have to wait and see what the defense says and what proves to be true. But I do think that even half what Andy McCarthy said, which is if even half of it is true, then he's toast. I mean, it's a very detailed indictment, and it's very, very damning.
Bill Barr. He's toast, yeah. And it's very, very damning. Okay, yeah. Trump's original guy, right, that really helped set the stage, glossed over, I mean, some people call it context or spin. I call what Bill Barr did with the Mueller report lying. But this is not a man who's not accustomed to or okay with pushing the envelope to advance a person or cause he agrees with. This is the guy that's saying, yes, we've now gone a bridge too far. Here's some more of what Bill Barr had to say over the weekend. It's very clear that he had no business having those documents. He was given a long time to send them back, and they were subpoenaed. And I've said all along that he wouldn't get in trouble probably just for taking them. Just as Biden is not going to get in trouble for it, nor as former Vice President Pence is not going to get in trouble. The problem is, What he did after the government asked for them back and subpoenaed them. If he's playing games there, he's going to be very exposed. Yep. Mm-hmm. I believe exactly, but precisely. He went further this weekend on CBS saying, quote, this is not a case of the Department of Justice conducting a witch hunt. This would have gone nowhere had the president just returned the documents, but he jerked them around for a year and a half. There's no excuse for what he did here. Yeah, that's the point. There's no excuse for what he did here. There's no plausible explanation. You do not declassify documents by telepathy. You don't declassify documents by telepathy and then show them to members of the media and say, look at my really beautiful classified document. You don't do that, right? Dead to rights. Whew. Tell me what you think. Is this going to split the GOP in two? 844-967-2789. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is The Maggie Dawn Show.
I declare
declassified.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup starting at 6 AM. Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show on 540 AM WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Robert Bowers is found guilty of killing 11 people at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh. Joe Recht used to attend there.
After 4.5 years, the world has heard again about the horrific acts on October 27, 2018. and the shooter is being held accountable for those awful acts.
A Michigan man is under arrest and accused of threatening a mass killing at an East Lansing synagogue. 19-year-old Sean Patrick Fetella has been charged with making threats on social media, including comments about anti-Semitism and neo-Nazi ideology. 3 years after the death of George Floyd, a Justice Department report says the Minneapolis police have engaged in a pattern of civil rights abuses.
As one city leader told us, quote, these systemic issues didn't just occur on May 25th, 2020. There were instances like that that were being reported by the community long before that.
That's the Attorney General Merrick Garland, CBS News Brief.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Walks, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Here's what you need to know in Southeast Wisconsin. If you're trying to get out of town this weekend, there may be some delays. Jimmy Koska has the story.
Interstate 43 construction starts today, which will result in lane closures between North Avenue and Capitol Drive, impacting traffic in both directions. It's bridge and pavement work with lane closures in place until at least Labor Day.
8-year-old Colin Strebe of Waukesha and his 73-year-old grandfather are the two that died in the Watertown plane crash Wednesday. An online memorial is identifying the victims, with the boys' school also sending a letter to families. The annual Kenosha County Dairy Breakfast is this weekend, and there's more than just the meal on the plate. Kids can check out the animals and tractors on the Daniels Family Farm in Brighton.
We're serving from 6:30 to 10:30 in the morning, so get up bright and early for a great breakfast.
Heather Richter grew up on that farm and is on the Dairy Promotion Board. For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Walks has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Walks, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Walks, GTWLawyers.com.
It's time you checked out Champions Pub on Milwaukee's East Side, a classic Milwaukee tavern since 1956. Champions is a comfortable place to gather and enjoy a drink over a game of shuffleboard, cribbage, bags, golden tea, or just relax in its sunny beer garden or covered deck. Champions Pub has something for everyone. It's a great place to escape the usual bar crowds and hide out for drinks and conversation. Stop by Champions Pub and enjoy its good service and low-key neighborhood atmosphere.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Are you looking for a creative haven in the heart of Milwaukee? Look no further than 20 Ton Studios. At 20 Ton Studios, we're all about fostering artistic expression and community engagement. Whether you're an art enthusiast or a budding artist yourself, join us at 2000 West North Avenue at the intersection of 20th and North Avenue. Discover the power of art and embrace your creative spirit at 20 Ton Studios. Visit us at 20tonstudios.com and don't forget to join us on Saturdays for our open studio extravaganza. 20 Ton Studios.
Maggie Dawn, and you are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show on Civic Media. You can find us here in southeastern Wisconsin at 540 AM, the WAUK, but it's always best on the app. Why mess around with maybe a little spotty signal when you can just get it crystal clear on the app? You can find that wherever you like to find your most favorite apps, and you can always call or email us here at Civic Media, 844-967-2789. Does this start to separate Republicans, the grown-ups, from the folks that frankly are willing to engage in soulless delusion and to make themselves prostrate in front of a man who knows only one objective, and that is to serve himself? Evan, I think you know, I would personally like to really hear some of the Jim Jordan dance that occurred today, because that I don't know what was coming out of his mouth. It was sort of like when Kevin McCarthy was trying to deal with the newest fraudster in Congress. Right. I mean, it doesn't track. Let's listen to a little bit of Jim Jordan. Hit us with whatever
Dana,
suits your
the
fancy.
The standard is clear. The standard is Navy versus Egan, a 1988 case, unanimous decision from the court that Justice Blackmun wrote the opinion, and it said the president's ability to classify and control access to national security information flows from the Constitution. He decides. He alone decides. He said he declassified this material. He can put it wherever he wants. He can handle it however he wants. That's the law. That's the standard. And Jack Smith can do all this 37 different counts, whatever he wants to do, but that doesn't change the standard that the Supreme Court in a unanimous decision said was that. He can classify and he can control access. He has the sole authority.
And that word salad was in response to the question, is Trump's lying acceptable to you?
Right. She asked, that was on CNN, I believe. It was like the most basic question, is Trump's lying acceptable to you? Now, granted, that's a little bit like, when did you stop beating your wife? But I don't know what Jim Jordan's talking about, because that case was talking about a president when in office and deciding what's classified and not. I mean, just common, everybody put on their thinking caps together now. When would a president have the authority to classify and declassify information? Would it be A, while he's president, or B, when he's not president? Like, that's what we're talking about. He doesn't have the divine right of kings for perpetuity to hang on to whatever he wants. No, Jim, that ain't the law. Why don't you put a suit coat on, crack open a book, roll down your sleeves, and show the chamber in the U.S. Constitution some of that respect that you claim to be very, you know, observant of? Because I'm not thinking that's true. Lindsey Graham, I don't even want to. Lindsey Graham said what the Wall Street Journal did and what Foxy News said, which is basically like, whew, thank goodness he's not actually a spy. But again, folks, paragraph 58 of the indictment, now to move 64 boxes at Trump's direction from Mar-a-Lago to the Trump residence so that they are not available for Trump's lawyer to search on June 2nd. Paragraph 53, now to is instructed to move one box earlier. The first box, what was in that box? Do we have those documents back? Now to move 65 boxes. He only brings 30 back. Did the FBI seize everything that was in those other 35 boxes when they raided Mar-a-Lago? That's what I'm worried about. Here's Fox News commentator Mark Levin. There's not one syllable of evidence in here that any information under the Espionage Act was passed to any spies, to any enemies, to any foreign countries. Not one. So?
And why is Chelsea Manning in prison? It's insane.
Right. You know, again, one of the rhetorical flourishes, and there's only a couple in this indictment, is the trouble that Jack Smith went to point out what Trump has said before about those that show classified documents and top secret material, especially to folks in the media. Here's what he said on February 16th, 2017. The first thing I thought of when I heard about this, how does the press get this information that's classified? How do they do it? You know why? Because it's an illegal process and the press should be ashamed of themselves. But more importantly, the people that gave out the information to the press should be ashamed of themselves. If you're following along in your hymnals, paragraph 34 describes when Trump showed plans on how to attack Iran, prepared at his direction, to a writer and publisher. That is paragraph 34. It goes on, paragraph 35. He shows a PAC operative, a representative of his PAC and a member of the media, a classified map, and told them that he shouldn't be showing him the map and that they can't get too close. he did it. I don't know what else to say. They have him on tape saying these things.
As I understand it, you're not dumbing this down or anything. This is an easy document to follow along with.
It is. Yeah. You don't have to take my word for it. It is very readable, and it's not all that long either. Here's another juicy bit. He actually tells his attorney to basically like remove documents. So Corcoran has actually come to Mar-a-Lago on June 2nd, reviewed everything. And he's now talking with Trump. And here's what's in Corcoran's notes. Okay. This is him doing this audio memorandum as he's driving up to vacation with his family. And he's talking about the conversation that he and Trump had after he searched through these documents, because Corcoran pulled out literal pages from this stuff. So Corcoran was so disturbed by what he saw. Not only did he identify boxes that had to be returned via subpoena, he pulled out a particularly sensitive set of information, put it in a red weld folder, and taped it shut. Okay, that is, Corcoran did that. He didn't have to do that to respond to the subpoena, but he was so concerned about what he saw. Here's his voice memo to himself. He made a funny motion, though. Well, okay, why don't you take them with you to your hotel room? And if there's anything really bad in there, like, you know, pluck it out. And that was the motion that he made. He didn't say that. Yeah. So there was stuff in the boxes, right? 30 of which were returned to the FBI in response to the subpoena after Trump had told his Diet Coke valet now to take them away to the residence. He hid stuff from his lawyer, but the stuff that the lawyer went through, he was so worried about it that he took things out, taped it shut. And then Trump was like, you know, go to your hotel, but, and then he made a plucking motion. Wonder what he possibly could have meant by that. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that's in here. This is, you can't make it up. If I was trying to get a client in trouble, that would not be the story I would come up with. Right? Betsy, what say you, Betsy? You can answer my question of the day. Is this the thing that splits the GOP in two, or one of your own?
Well, first off, Maggie, I want to say welcome back. And I think you are so phenomenal and such an asset to our civic media. I am so grateful that you are back on the airwaves.
Thank you, Betsy.
And then to your question about the GOP, the Republican Party is dead. I was raised Republican. These are not the Republicans of our, you know, time. And Scott Walker, sadly enough, is the one that woke me up to it. And, you know, the changing of the Constitution, you know, democracies are being destroyed from within. Trump is a Putin puppet. It's plain and simple. And in bed with the Saudis. And Kim Jong-un, he's kissing up to all these dictators. This is really, really scary if I really want to go in my head too much. But, you know, it's out of my hands. I'm just on the outside looking in to seeing how our country is being destroyed.
Yes. Well, I'm with you, Betsy. Thanks for the call and thank you for your kind words. Listen, if Hillary Clinton, if there was evidence to support criminal charges, charge her. Hold her accountable if she indeed intentionally deleted information, or if they had evidence to support that she intentionally was mishandling classified information or giving it away. They didn't have it. I mean, that's James Comey. On the record, we could not find evidence to support that she clearly, intentionally, and willfully mishandled classified information. There were no indications of disloyalty to the United States. There were no efforts to obstruct justice. That's just the deal. But speaking of Republicans, CJ, what say you? Now, listen, if we're going to talk, we're not going to talk about Hillary Burisma. I will devote entire shows to that, but not today. I want to get your sense. Do you think that this is going to sow division in the GOP? You're a conservative. What do you think? Is there going to be division in the GOP over this?
That's the, the Clinton, the Obama, and the Biden DOJ's goal. And it has been. That's part of our complaint. You know, I've wanted to ask you so many legal
questions. Let me ask a question about that, because you've labeled them as if everyone in the entire national security and law enforcement federal apparatus all of a sudden is individually loyal to one person or a party, and that they like stop trying to do their jobs objectively. Do you think, does the entire scope of the FBI and the DOJ, does everybody, like the day Obama's elected, go, I'm just going to vigorously pursue Obama's self-interest? Is that what happens? Because most of these people are around for decades.
Well, the dual justice system is very prevalent, and the Durham report.
What do you mean by the dual justice system? You mean rich folks, poor folks?
Can I respond for a second?
I'm just trying to understand what you're saying, CJ. Do you mean dual? What do you mean by dual justice system?
Are you ashamed of the 51 people that lied to the American people? Trump's got a good reason to be very upset at the Department of Justice, the FBI, the Durham report.
Does he? Because Bill Barr completely snowballed and like backburnered the Mueller report. So that worked pretty well for Trump while he was in control of the DOJ and the FBI. What is the dual justice system that you're referring to?
That you don't think the 33 emails that were destroyed by the Clinton that cost the life of an ambassador and three other Americans in Benghazi might have been.
Benghazi hearings went on for 3.5 years. Secretary Clinton testified more than any other cabinet member before that committee. The FBI investigated it, and there was a conclusion that there was no evidence to support a criminal charge. We can talk about that, CJ, because that's how the system works. If there's not evidence to support a charge, no charge is made. No grand jury is convened. I want to ask you, do you think some conservatives, maybe you're unbothered by what Donald Trump has alleged to have done, but do you think some conservatives may indeed be bothered by this, by the cover up, not the taking? We understand that taking these documents happens sometimes, accidentally, poor record keeping, whatever it is, but that he decided that there were some of these that he was going to keep and then he was going to lie about it. That doesn't bother you? You don't think it's going to bother conservative CJ? Ugh, we lost CJ. Shocking. Shocking.
It's tough to stay
push
on topic.
Push me over with it.
It can be hard.
Listen, when we try to stay on point, we somehow lose him. Listen, if Clinton did it, if there was evidence, she should have been charged. Plain and simple, right? That's just the way it goes in a nation that is governed by a set of laws applied to each and every equally. And objectively, that's our ideal, isn't it? I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. We're going to talk about the debarment proceeding for one of Trump's lawyers when we come back. 844-967-2789. Get with it and lock it in.
The summer heat can really get to you. Hot, sticky, you feel like you're melting. But Wauwatosa, coming in July, it'll be easy to cool off. Enjoy Ice Cream Social. This family-run, family-friendly business is more than just ice cream. It's a cool community hangout spot for friends and family. Let's talk about the ice cream. 16 delicious rotating flavors direct from the chocolate shop in Madison. The perfect way to stay sweet and cool this summer. Opening in July. Joy Ice Cream Social. Scoop, snack, shop. 8334 West North Avenue. Follow them on Facebook and Instagram.
Are you looking for a creative haven in the heart of Milwaukee? Look no further than 20 Ton Studio. At 20 Ton Studios, we're all about fostering artistic expression and community engagement. Whether you're an art enthusiast or a budding artist yourself, join us at 2000 West North Avenue at the intersection of 20th and North Avenue. Discover the power of art and embrace your creative spirit at 20 Ton Studios. Visit us at 20tonstudios.com and don't forget to join us on Saturdays for our open studio extravaganza. 20 Ton Studios, where art comes to life.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly clear tonight with lows around 50. North winds around 5 miles an hour. Lots of sunshine again tomorrow. High of 78. Lows dip down to about 55 tomorrow night. Mainly clear skies. Mainly cloudy skies Sunday. Decreasing clouds by Monday. Upper 70s Sunday. Low 80s by Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 66 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. At 12:15, Wisconsin Roundtable. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Funny how I finally flipped the script on ya. When you the one who's double dipping, yeah. You so sloppy how I caught you slipping, You're off the lease. Run me my keys. No more popping up the idiot. I ain't even got the miles to trip on ya.
What's up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show, taking on conservatives wherever they display rabid hypocrisy. If there's evidence to show that any politician committed a crime, especially a crime that puts American lives at risk, they should be prosecuted. That's just what we do here. I want to point out before I pivot to Eastman, and if you're on hold, stay there. I'm going to get you before we're out of this show. Two other of Donald Trump's very famous lawyers, Ty Cobb, Trump's lawyer for years. Here's what he told CNN. I think Trump is in an enormous amount of trouble. This indictment is about as carefully structured and evidentially supported as any indictment in history. Okay. Ouch. Law professor Jonathan Turley, who frequently defended Trump's behavior during his impeachments, wrote, quote, "For 2 years, I have said that the Mar-a-Lago charges, particularly obstruction, represent the greatest threat to Donald Trump. It remains baffling why Trump forced this issue over these documents rather than just give them all back." Yeah, that was always the option, you know, just give them all back. He didn't do that. There's a through line in so much of this, right? And it's these lawyers. I have often said that lawyers can really help elevate a debate, help elevate legislation, can help elevate public policy discussions, but they can also be a democracy's unraveling by wrapping into flowery rhetoric and musings and using legal form repugnant arguments. Remember John Yoo during George W. Bush administration? It's not torture. We don't have a Geneva Convention problem. Yeah, that's just enhanced interrogation. Well, John Yoo's back in the news, everybody, because he's been listed as one of John Eastman's expert witnesses in John Eastman's debarment trial. If you will recall, Eastman was one of the lawyers who probably pushed and had the greatest amount of influence over the campaign to convince Mike Pence that he should just ask legislatures in states to decide who their electoral representatives should be for purposes of, you know, deciding who the president is, never mind who the state voted for. And that based on this, let the legislators instead of the voters pick theory, he was telling Pence that he could claim that there was actual dispute over those Electoral College votes, and that Pence therefore could declare the winner. Like it's student council or something. Oh, I just, yes, it's my friend. He wins, obviously. Yeah, that's John Eastman. So he has been subject to these disbarment proceedings in California for quite some time, but they're just getting going today. And he's got quite the list of expert witnesses. Kurt Olson, a lawyer who spoke with Trump multiple times on January 6th and helped Eastman develop these legal plans to overthrow the world's greatest democracy. Peter Navarro, it's the Trump trade advisor, who authored multiple discredited reports on election integrity. Yep, not an election expert. He was a trade advisor. Okay. Kurt Hilbert, guy who worked on the effort to overturn the election in Georgia. There's a whole bunch of them from the local challenges. The guy from Cyber Ninjas that even they were forced to concede. Yep, nothing here, really. Sorry. I was like, what? No Tucker? Here, you know, bring on Tucker. Ask him about his text messages. I mean, I still want to see Tucker under oath, Evan. I can't let it go. No, My Pillow guy? What is Mike Lindell not credible, John Eastman?
Oh.
Weird. Very weird. But one of this guy's lawyer witnesses may be John Yoo. Again, it's not interrogation. That's just. Or torture, that's just enhanced interrogation. Here are the charges pending against Eastman in his debarment proceeding. There's 11 professional charges. Here are the highlight reel. Failure to support the laws and constitution, seeking to mislead a court, misrepresentations to the public, and moral turpitude. The lawyer for the California State Bar said, it is no overstatement that democracy stood on the precipice. Had Vice President Pence followed Eastman's baseless advice, the country would have plunged into a profound constitutional crisis. Wow. Let's hope that goes well. We need to hold this guy to account, don't you think? I mean, you look at Trump's history with his lawyers and there's just, it's like a graveyard. James Trusty and John Rowley just quit. You got Corcoran, who's now a witness against him. You had Tim Parlatore. He quit not too long ago. He's got this new guy, Todd Blanche. He fired Rudy, fired Sidney Powell. Bunch of his impeachment lawyers quit right on. Remember that? That was interesting. Right on the eve of the impeachment trial. Cleta Mitchell had to quit her fancy law firm job. I mean, this guy loses lawyers like people lose socks in the dryer. Tells you something. All right. Want to hear from you to close out the show. Joe and Madison, what do you have? Make it quick. We're up on time here, Joe.
My question for you, and maybe you need to tackle it tomorrow, is I'm really confused, Maggie. As I understand it, there are 35 boxes, is that right, that are outstanding? They don't know where they are. Is that correct? Am I right on that?
So after they executed the warrant and raided Mar-a-Lago, they recovered a lot of information. And some of that information, those documents, are now the basis for the indictment. My point is, did they recover 35 boxes worth or not? Because if they didn't, it would appear that there are documents unaccounted for. Joe, thanks for the question. Jack from Merrimack, what say you this fine afternoon?
Well, the false equivalencies and whataboutisms are just incredible on this. It just keeps getting worse and worse. I'm glad you mentioned Jim Jordan's reference to the.
You got about 30 seconds, Jack. So make your point quickly, sir.
Okay. Do you know? Is the investigation into the collusion on January 6th, is that continuing?
Yes, sir. That's really important. Thanks for the call, Jack. Yes, that continues. Donald Trump woes aren't over. Jack Smith continues. And I will too tomorrow. This has been the Maggie Dawn Show. Thanks for listening.
In
it's time you checked out Champions Pub on Milwaukee's East Side, a classic Milwaukee tavern since 1956. Champions is a comfortable place to gather and enjoy a drink over a game of shuffleboard, cribbage, bags, golden tea, or just relax in its sunny beer garden or covered deck. Champions Pub has something for everyone. It's a great place to escape the usual bar crowds and hide out for drinks and conversation. Stop by Champions Pub and enjoy its good service and low-key neighborhood atmosphere.
If you're searching for a unique and environmentally conscious shopping experience in Milwaukee, your search ends at Clover. A haven for plant and art lovers in the area, Clover's plants are handpicked from Wisconsin-based wholesalers. In fact, Clover was recently recognized as one of the top 10 best plant shops in the Midwest by Midwest Living Magazine. And the gallery features the talent of 23 local women artists. Clover, women owned and operated and making a positive impact in the community. 2252 South Kinnickinnick Avenue in Milwaukee or online at clovermke.com.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.